Well, thank you, Marisha. Don't ever do that to us again. I heard recently about a football player who was injured in a football game, and he went to his doctor afterward, and he had three broken fingers. And he asked his doctor to look him over carefully, and he said, "Doc, do you think I'll ever be able to play the piano?" And the doctor, after looking him over carefully, said, "Yeah, I think so." And the football player said, "That's amazing, because I could never play it before the accident." We have some funny expectations about healing, don't we? And some funny ways of thinking about healing. This morning, as Marisha said, as Ben said earlier, our topic is healing. Some of you may not know this, but divine healing is a really central doctrinal teaching of the Church of God. This is something, had you been hanging around this church for its whole 100 years, you would probably have heard dozens of sermons about divine healing, even if we hear less of them today. This is an important doctrine for us in the church. And it's one of the signposts of renewal that we've identified for our congregation and for our lives as we are now in our 100th year as a congregation. Remember, these signposts of renewal are things that we do to cooperate with God's renewing power at work within the world. And this morning, what I want to speak about is our cooperation with the work of healing that God is doing. And I'd like to begin right here. Healing is not a tangent to God's intentions and God's work in the world. Healing is at the very, very center of God's work and God's intentions for the world. The healing that we're going to be speaking about this morning is physical healing, and it is emotional healing, and it is social healing. It is healing on small scale, and it is the healing of nations. This morning, I want to speak about the healing that God wills to do in our lives, in the church, and in the world. The word that sums up the sort of healing that God is about is the very powerful biblical word shalom. This is a word that you've heard me say before. We've sometimes translated this word as peace, but that doesn't get even close to what the biblical word of shalom means. Shalom means wholeness. And it speaks of the wholeness for creation that God intended from the very beginning. This morning, we want to think together about what it means to be a people who cooperate with God's shaloming, healing work in the world. And the question that I want to ask you to consider this morning is, do you want to get well? This is a question I want to address to you personally, and it's a question that I want to address to our whole congregation. Do you want to get well? It's a question that comes out of this passage of Scripture that we have just read this morning from John chapter 5. Let your imaginations go to work now, will you? We're looking in on a scene on the north side of Jerusalem, just inside a gate entering into Jerusalem that is called the Sheep's Gate. This is the place where the sheep are led to the temple during the times of sacrifice. And not far from the gate called the Sheep Gate, there's a pool called the Pool of Bethesda. And this was the work of King Herod the Great. This pool is surrounded by beautiful stone work all the way around the pool. And around the pool, there are five porticos, columns that are covered by a roof that are a protection from the sun that blisters people who come here during the summer time of the year. And around the Pool of Bethesda, there are dozens of people who are laying and waiting. You see, there's a rumor that this pool has healing purposes. From time to time, the waters are troubled. Archaeologists tell us that this pool was fed by underground streams, underground pools. And so this water bubbles. There's a tradition that the cause of the stirring of the waters is that from time to time, an angel would stir the waters. And it's believed that whoever gets in the waters first after the waters are stirred will be healed because of the healing properties of this water. And there is a man here who has been here, who has not been here. There's a man who has been ill for 38 years. Now, the Gospel of John doesn't tell us the nature of his illness, although in all likelihood he is paralytic. There are some hints in the story that he is a paralytic. And he's been laying there next to this pool, hoping for his opportunity to get into the water. And Jesus addresses him. Jesus spies him out, and Jesus asks him the question, "Do you want to get well?" What a question. Do you want to get well? Duh. He's been sick for 38 years. Is the Pope Catholic? Have we had winter in Michigan this year? Do all God-fearing people root for the Broncos in the Super Bowl next weekend? Do you want to get well? What a strange question. For 38 years, this man has been laying here, and yet Jesus addresses the question, do you want to get well? And notice what happens. Immediately upon the question, he begins making excuses. Well, I don't have anybody to put me into the water when the waters begin to rumble. And when it does, when the water is troubled, there's already somebody else that gets into the water before I do. And the sun is in my eyes, and I don't have anybody put me in the water, and I have all these problems. And notice, in response to the question of Jesus, he begins coming up with excuses. What a strange response. The question that I want to ask this morning is it possible? Is it possible that you and I have resistances to the healing that God wants to do in us that we are perhaps not even totally aware of? Now, hold that question for a moment and allow me to fast forward in this story. We all know that this is a story about healing. We know that this man is going to be healed. But let's fast forward beyond that event for just a moment and notice what happens next. It is the Sabbath day. And following his healing, this man gets up and he takes his pallet, which was a little mattress, he takes his pallet and he puts it under his arm and he begins to walk off through Jerusalem. And he is spotted by some of the Jewish authorities. And the Jewish authorities ask him, why are you carrying your mattress on the Sabbath? This is work. And the man says, well, I'm carrying my mattress because there was a man who healed me earlier today, and he told me to stand up and take my mattress and walk, and so that's what I'm doing. And the Jewish authorities say, who was it that told you that you should take up your mat and walk on the Sabbath day? And he says, well, I don't really know. I didn't even stop to asking his name. I just stood up, and there were all these people around. I started walking. I just did what he told me to do. And so the Jewish authorities begin looking for Jesus, and we're told a couple of paragraphs later in the Gospel of John that they resisted Jesus. They began to resist Jesus because he had performed a healing on the Sabbath. Richard Rohr, an interesting writer, Richard Rohr has said, religion will be about the work of healing, or religion will be about rules and regulations. We're the ones who decide. It will either be about healing. It will be about the sort of healing that God wills to do in the world and our own cooperation with the sort of healing that God wills to do in the world, or it will be about the keeping of rules and regulations. So, I'm back to our question. Do you want to get well? I'm speaking of each person who is gathered here this morning. Do you want to get well? And I'm speaking to Alma First Church of God. Do you want to get well? Do you want to be a community of faith that gathers together and cooperates with the power of healing? Do you want your religion to be about healing, or do you want your religion to be about the keeping of rules and regulations? It's one or the other. It's probably not both. Do you want to get well? It's a powerful question. Notice the healing that God wills to do in us is, how do we say this? It is a loving dictatorship. The healing that God wants to do in us is a gracious totalitarianism. In other words, it is not a little bit about us and our world that God is working to bring healing for. It is not one piece of us while leaving the other parts off. The healing that God wills to do in us is a unilateral healing. It is body, mind, spirit, soul. It is social. It is connections. It is relational. It is everything, and it is all of the above. And to be a people who cooperate with God's healing work is to give God permission to work in all of these areas, all at once, all of the time. There's a lady who went into a therapist to work on stress in her life. So she went into her therapist, and after four or five sessions with her therapist said, you know, I think you're making some really good headway on the stress in your life. I think now we can start working on your crankiness. The lady said, I'm kind of fond of my crankiness. I think I'd like to keep that part. Here's something over the years that I've noticed. Some of the people who are the strongest advocates of divine healing, who believe in it down to their toes, are people who also will hang on to bitterness like it is their best friend, hold on to it as though they couldn't live without it. People who will embrace the conviction that Jesus wants to do healing in our lives and in our world will nurture racism and cling to things that set people against other people. People who are strong, strong, strong advocates of the belief that God does miracles today will also cling on to relational differences and judgmentalism as though their whole life depended on it. And here's what we need to understand about the story that is before us. The healing that Jesus wishes to do is a totalitarian healing. It is dictatorial. It is unilateral. It is across the board. He does not allow us to pick and to choose. The question is powerful. Do you want to get well? I think there are at least two reasons why people are resistant to the healing that God wants to do in our lives. The first one is that healing requires something of us. We have to cooperate with it. I'm thinking about a doctor friend of mine who told me one time that one of his biggest frustrations in his work, by the way, no one in our congregation. I'm thinking of a doctor friend of mine that told me that one of his biggest frustrations in his line of work was he would do what he could do to serve the processes of healing in people's lives, including giving them instructions about what their part was to do, exercises, things to eat, ways to cooperate with the healing processes. And then he said, people would come back to me a week or a month or months later, and they'd say, you didn't do your job. And my doctor friend would ask them, did you do the exercises and the stretches and the changes in your eating habits that I told you to do? Well, no. You see, one of the reasons we're resistant to healing is that it calls for something from us. If you want to be healed of a bitterness that is at work in your life, you're going to have to let go of your right to stand in judgment and vindication of another person. You're going to have to let that go in order to experience the healing of bitterness that you long for. If you want to be healed from some addiction that you are attached to, you're going to have to let go of that practice and embrace the challenges that follow all of that. You can't be a passive participant. This is something that calls forth something from us. I've got an opinion that I've developed over the years, and you feel free to differ with me on this. The advances in medicine and therapy and psychological care and emotional care have come so far in the United States. We are such an incredibly fortunate people. They've come so far that I wonder if sometimes we think that we can be passive participants in the processes of healing. We think it should just be done for us. But frequently in Scripture and frequently in our lives, there is something that is going to be called from us if we want to cooperate with God's healing purposes, and it's not going to be easy. The first challenge to us, our resistance to the healing of God, is that it calls for something from us. The second is that when we experience healing, things are going to change. And change, fundamental, real, foundational change, is always uncomfortable. I want you to think about this fellow who's laying here by the pool that Jesus addresses on this particular day. I want you to imagine the changes that go on in his life now. Here's a guy who for 38 years he's been ill, possibly a paralytic. Here's a guy who for 38 years probably didn't have to go to work. The systems of his day probably took care of him because he wasn't capable of going off to work every day. Around him, he had networks of people who probably took care of him. These social structures of people who functioned in ways that he could not to help take care of him. And here's a man who all of a sudden, all of that is different. Now, he stands up and walks away with a mat underneath his arm, and there are no more excuses for not working on his own behalf. to make his situation better. Now, social relationships around him that have developed into sort of hardened fabrics of the way that people relate to one another, some caring for him because he can't care for himself, now all of that has changed and all of that is different. It's going to be uncomfortable, not just for him, but it's going to be uncomfortable for people around him who have gotten used to things being the way they are. Here's something that I learned years ago from my friends who are in the 12-step community. Very often, when a person gets the help that they need to enter into recovery from alcoholism or drug addiction or whatever their addiction may be, very often when a person makes significant change like this, problems will emerge in other places in the family. It's the strangest thing. Problems will emerge in other places in the family if the family is not prepared for change. When somebody changes, it makes things uncomfortable for everybody. So we're maybe more reluctant and resistant to the healing that God wills to do in us and in our world than we were aware. There's a funny thing about the story that we have in front of us this morning from John chapter 5. And the funny thing is that in this particular story, Jesus does not ask permission. Now, very often, he does. Very often, Jesus waits until people pray for healing or people ask for it. In this particular story, he does not. I love this. I think this reminds us that if we want to put God in a little box, we're just not going to be able to do it. If we want to put healing into a nice little boxy system and say it always happens in a certain way, when people pray using exactly the right words, all of the rules are broken in this particular story. Jesus has asked the man, "Do you want to get well?" He's come up with excuses for reasons why he can't get in the water to get better. And Jesus says, "No, no, no, no." Jesus commands. He commands him, "Stand up, take your pallet, and walk. Pick up your mattress and start moving." I love this story. You simply can't put Jesus into a box. He commands it. He announces what this man is to do. Stand up and start moving. I love this story. I love this story for so many reasons, and one of them is that this story reminds us that God is absolutely committed to the processes of healing. It is not tangential to God's purposes. It is not some sideshow that is taking place so that Jesus could then get on with the real business of saving people's souls. He's not sideshow Jesus. Healing is not some tangential thing so that he can draw attention to himself and then get on to the real business of things. The real business of things that Jesus is about, the real business of things is healing. This is fascinating. In the New Testament, very often when Jesus heals people, he will say, "Stand up," or "Open your eyes, your faith has made you whole." The word that is used, "your faith has made you whole," or "your faith has healed you," is the same word for salvation. It's the exact same word. This is not tangential. The salvation that what God wants to do in us, the salvation that God wants to do, is a healing salvation, and there is no part of you that God does not want to heal, and there's no part of our church that God does not want to heal. I know this is complicated. I know this is really, really complicated. In fact, it's incredibly, incredibly mysterious. It's no wonder that over the years, churches have tried to create all kinds of rules about how it is that God heals and how it is that some people, some situations, some people aren't healed, and other situations, other people are healed. Marisha said it really well in her sketch this morning. We live in a fallen world. A deeply, deeply broken world, a world that is in need of healing. I suspect the need for healing is deeper than most of us are ever aware on any given day. It is tremendous how deeply our world needs healing. And the healing that God is doing mysteriously takes place over time. You can't predict here and where it's going to take place or how, under what circumstances it's going to happen. Why is it that some person is healed over here while some person over here is not? Can I just say, God is God, and I am not. And that is the most comforting thing you will ever hear from me. God is God, and I am not. And as long as I remember that, things are probably going to be a little bit better. Here's what I do know. In a world in which death is still reigning, the power of God to bring healing is erupting in our world and in our lives. And if our eyes are open, and if we are observing, and if we are aware, We will see healing that is taking place in ourselves, in our communities, around the world. And here's what I know. I know that the cost to God of healing is extraordinary. We see it already in this text. Before the day is over, the religious authorities are resistant to Jesus because he's had the audacity to heal a man on the Sabbath day and break the rules. How terrible can you be? Before the day is over, already the resistance to Jesus has begun. And you know it's going to grow and it's going to grow and it's going to grow and it's going to grow until Good Friday when Jesus is going to be crucified and Easter when Jesus will be raised. When the early church was trying to make sense of all of this and try to understand the death and the resurrection of Jesus, all of their expectations had been exploded. This was not what they had expected, the death and the resurrection of Jesus. Following Easter Sunday, they went back to their scriptures in search of understanding what it is that had taken place in the cross of Jesus. And one of the central places that they came back to was Isaiah chapter 53, words that had been written hundreds of years earlier. I want you to listen to these words again. Remember, hundreds of years before Jesus. Surely he took up our infirmities and carried our sorrows. We considered him stricken by God, smitten by him, and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him. Listen to these words. And by his wounds, Isaiah said, by his wounds we are healed. Is healing central to the purposes of God? The church has always looked back to the cross and always announced in the strongest words, you better believe it, and look at the cost that God has paid for his healing work in the world. So, I want to return to our question. Do you want to get well? Do you want to get well? Are you willing to let go of the resistances within you, the cooperation that it will require of you, the things that you will need to do to go along with the healing that God wishes to do in you? Are you willing to cooperate? Are you willing to let go of the fear of change that the healing of your life will bring for you and for others? The healing that God is doing is a cosmic healing. There is not a subatomic particle in the universe upon which God is not acting to bring forth his healing purposes. There is not a galaxy in the universe upon which God is not acting to bring about his purposes. And I want to remind you, the healing of God is a utilitarian, is a universal healing. It is a, not universal, unilateral healing in which God is working to bring about healing in all of you and in all of us. Do you want to get well? Let me propose three very simple steps to affirming God's healing work in our lives. First of all, Ben, I'm having a your moment now. My mind is running away with me. First of all, let's reconstitute or reclaim the practice of prayer for divine healing in the church. Let's reclaim it. The practice of praying for divine healing in the church and in the world. Let's reclaim it. You know, sometimes I think that because we have grown up, most of us, in a country that has excellent medical practices, we have been bogged down into thinking that we have to choose between practicing medicine and going to those who practice medicine for our healing purposes and praying for healing. We've bought into the dualistic mindset of our world, thinking that it is one or the other. There's no reason for us to do that. God is working in every available means to bring about his healing purposes. You don't have to choose medicines or prayer. How about we recommit ourselves and reconstitute ourselves to the practice of praying for healing? There are all kinds of extraordinary stories that are told in developing countries where people do not have access to the kinds of medication that we have. of expectancy in relation to praying for divine healing. And because they have a greater expectancy, they have greater testimony of the ways that that is taking place in the world. How about if we re-embrace the prayer for divine healing at work in our congregation and in our world? We're going to give an opportunity to do that here in just a moment. The first thing I want to say, though, is let's just pray. Let's just pray for God's healing work in our midst. The second thing is, second step is, take leadership in your own participation in the healing processes. Take leadership in your own participation in the healing processes. If your doctor has told you that you need to practice certain exercises for your knee to get better, are you doing them? If in order to get better, you need to join an AA 12-step group, have you done it? Take leadership in your own healing processes. This is a reminder, it's going to require something of you. You have to do something. Take leadership in your own processes. And thirdly, surrender to the power of healing that is at work through you and for the world. Remember, the healing that God wills to do is personal, it is social, it is international, it is relational, it is physical. There are no parameters that separate and divide the things into things that God is and is not doing. And if God wills to bring healing to us, He wills to bring healing through us. Are you willing to be an agent of healing? How central is all of this to the divine design, to God's action in the world? I want you to remember this story. One day, Jesus was confronted because of the kinds of people that he was spending time with, tax collectors and sinners, and people who were gathered around the table with him who would not have been comfortable in most of the synagogues. And some of the scribes and the Pharisees accused Jesus of being a sinner because he was embracing sinners. And Jesus said, "It is not those who are well who seek out a physician, but those who are sick." He said, "I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." In lining up his work to being like that of a physician, Jesus was making it clear that healing is not tangential to his purposes, but at the very center of his purposes. So, I invite you now to bow your heads and your hearts with me, if you would, please. And let's welcome his healing work in, among, and through us. Would you pray with me, please? We can be a reluctant lot, O Lord. We can be remarkably resistant to the healing that you wish to do in us and through us. And this morning, as we prepare to gather around this table, the Lord's Supper, we thank you that what you major in is forgiveness. Lord, in this moment, we bring to mind the many ways that we are resistant to the healing work that you wish to do. If we've been clinging to bitterness and anger and hatred, forgive us. If we cling to comfort because we'd rather be comfortable than whole, forgive us. If we cling to our excuses because as we're clinging to excuses, we aren't accountable, or at least think we're not accountable, would you forgive us? This morning we pray that you would help us to be open and attentive and willing for the healing that you will to do in our lives and in the church. Lord, I'm thinking in this moment of a person that I spoke to earlier this week who said, "I can't say that I want to let go of bitterness. I can say I want to let go of bitterness." For some of us, that's the best we can do today. I want to be well. And yet we recognize that your grace and your power and your beauty is enough to work with that. I want to be whole. Lord, we turn our attention to the table that is set before us, and we remember the cost of our healing. We think of our Lord Jesus lifted up, crucified, dead, and buried. We think of the words that he spoke to us. This bread is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. Help us to come this morning as a people who are surrendered to your healing work in us, for us, around us, and through us. Carry forward the work of resurrection in us today, we pray. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen. Now, as we receive communion this morning, I want you to be aware that Pastor Ben and I are going to be anointing persons who may have need for particular prayer for healing. And so we'd like to do it in this way. As you stand up and come to the side to come forward to the table for communion, as we always do, if you would like to be anointed for oil, instead of coming straight to the table, I invite you to just turn and walk to the back. Ben is going to be back here under the main exit, and I'm going to be over here in this corner. If you'd like to just walk to the back, and we would love to have the opportunity to anoint you and to pray for whatever healing it is that you need. I want you to be aware that we have a special request this morning. The sister of Lindsay Gagne has significant need for healing, and Angel is going to be anointed on her behalf. Please keep her in mind. Friends, let us come to the table. Let us come together to the table of healing. If you need to be anointed this morning, I invite you to just step to the back during communion, and Ben and I will meet with you there. Servers, would you come and serve us, please?
Servers, could you wait just a minute? I know that the most efficient way to deal with this is to go right into communion, but there's a song that just establishes for me that where we have to be when we're talking about healing, because we tend to want God to answer prayer the way that we want it answered, we have to first be sure that we understand that we are loved. Because if we don't operate first out of that, then God won't be able to work on us. So would you stay where you are, but stand and sing this song with me, please, at the cross.